Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show.
Welcome to Spark and the Adventures of the Day. Oh my gosh. I got dropped from the call and the opener continued without me. I don't know if my wonderful tech guy is sitting at the computer because I am still en route to my computer. So I don't know if our guest is going to have a live microphone for the next few minutes or you'll just get to listen to me. So my apologies, Miss Lynette, if your microphone is still closed. I'll just do a quick check. Lynette, is your microphone open? Nope, not yet. So I'll open it as soon as I get there. Thank you for your patience, Lynette, and my listeners. Thank you for joining me and my guest, Miss Lynette Patterson, to talk about sparks for healing grief. It is that time of year, the holiday season, when we particularly notice the absence of those we love, whether it's the first holiday without those people or it may be the 20th holiday with loved ones who were once with us in celebration, now who are only with us in spirit or memory. And as I was talking with Miss Lynette earlier about the grief process and that we all experience grief a little bit differently, that I'll ask her too, is to talk about how people experience grief. And she will share her story. I will give you some context with me. Our daughter Emily was born at 19 weeks premature. She was stillborn. I had a problem with the amniotic sac, developed a leak, and so I'd lost the amniotic fluid, so she wasn't developing properly. And we were right on the heels of having to make the decision to abort the pregnancy when it happened naturally. And this was in May, and this would have been, this was our second miscarriage in about 5 years, and we grieved for the loss, and we celebrated for her life, because even in the short time that she was a part of our life, she made a positive impact, and the hospital was wonderful about, we did a naming ceremony for her with a priest there, and they provided some clothing for her, and it was a wonderful ceremony. And then the holidays came around, and we had decided that we would give angel gifts to her grandparents. And so we'd given, it was an angel candle holder, and my mother-in-law, when we'd given it to her, and she got the gift, she said, "Well, who's Emily?" And, of course, that hit me hard. I said, "She's your granddaughter." And then she felt bad, I could tell immediately, because she wasn't even thinking in that context or that we would do something like that. Again, everybody is different. And even with our 9-year-old son, even though Emily was born before we adopted him, he knows about his sister, and we talk about her, and she is a part of our celebration. She would be a year older than he is, and so she is a part of our lives still, as is my father, who this will be, I believe, our fourth Christmas without him. And my youngest sister was very, very close to him, and we have part of our extended family Christmas that includes acknowledging memories of my father and that helps her and he, and I think it helps my mom. And again, it's a different approach that people have when it comes to processing and healing grief. And thanks for hanging in there, Lynette. It's only going to be a few more minutes. So if you have questions for Lynette, and she will share her experience with grief as well, you can give us a call in probably about half an hour or so. If you are in, we'll open up a chat room, you can type in your question in the chat and be able to talk to her about what she has learned, as she has recently had a wonderful experience of interviewing amazing people about grief and loss and ways to handle grief. And so I'll be there in about 15 seconds, and I'll open up your microphone so I can get through my the boots and shoes. And so as life hands us these adventures, the question is, how do we handle those adventures? And as Lynette and I were talking earlier, we can just smile and say, what an interesting gift we have been given. So, obviously not that computer. So take a deep breath. And as you breathe in, inhale blessings and exhale gratitude for the time that we're going to have together. And I'm not sure which computer, so it's going to be a little bit longer. I have to, not this one. So if you're listening because you have experienced a loss, you're looking for some ways to deal with grief, or you're listening because someone you love has experienced a loss and you're not sure how to help them in the grieving process, you have come to the right place. Oh, and we can take a deep breath. Oh, Miss Lynette, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, now we can.
Yay. Yes.
So you've had a little longer break than you thought.
Oh, that's fine. But yes, take a deep breath. It's all wonderful. It's all good.
Oh, good. So I will let you, Miss Lynette, talk about your journey with grief and the holidays and the inspiration that led you to create this amazing resource.
Well, you know, and inspiration, boy, that's the word when it comes to this thing that I've been doing for the past month. I've talked about my daughter a lot. You know, I share the story when I've interviewed with you about my metabolism book and weight loss. I've been pretty open in sharing the story that, you know, I've always been through college even, and then when my daughter was born with a severe heart defect and she died when she was two, that's when my weight issues started. I started filling that hole. I started feeding something that I couldn't hold any longer. And carbs became my friend. They provided that yummy hormone rush that I needed to feel better so that I could be strong for everyone around me and I could keep busy and I could have more babies and I could do all these things that seemed like the things that I needed to do. But about 5.5 weeks ago, it was, again, inspiration. It was like this big, loud voice that said to me that I needed to do this product, and I needed to do it not just so that other people could understand grief better and could see where they're trapped in their grief process and perhaps give them a smoother journey through their grief process than what I experienced for myself, but I knew that I had some healing to do as well, because I had, if you could possibly feel grieve badly. I think I did. I think I stuffed. I think I pushed it aside. I did all the things wrong. And I needed this so that I could step into the next journey of my life and do it in a way that was felt free and not felt like it had this cloud holding behind it. And so I stuck out a little query and asked experts if I could interview any of them, and I had a whole bunch of them raise their hands and say, yes, yes, interview me. This is important. People need to know. There's too much out there that's a lie. They need to know how to grieve, what's okay, what to do. The people around them need to know what to say, how to support them, how to move forward. Yes, interview me. So to date, I've interviewed 13 experts on grief, and it's been amazing, not just for me, but for what others are going to hear in the process.
And so, Lynette, particularly thinking about the holidays, is that something that came up in your interviews?
It came up in the interviews a great deal because I started the interviews just prior to Thanksgiving, and then Christmas was right on its heels, and this is the time when many people grieve. And plus, what many may not realize, there's this other added component of the time change, and it gets darker sooner, and we don't get the vitamin D into our bodies the way that we did before, and so we have another player in our grief, which is vitamin D deficiency, that makes the holiday season feel overwhelming. We're tired, we're exhausted, and we don't know why it's worse, and then we tend to blame the holidays for it as well. So yes, the holidays were spoken of a great deal from both the emotional grief component and the physical component too.
Well, if thinking about, I mentioned in the beginning about the process of grieving and the stages that quote unquote we are supposed to go through. And I know even in my experience with my daughter Emily that people were very surprised at my attitude, being able to talk about it. Yes, I cried, and I was also joyful and grateful. And so those stages really didn't work for me. Can you talk a little bit about those stages of grief? And for some of those people for whom it's like, you know, this isn't, it's not working for me. I'm not going through the stages I'm, quote, supposed to.
Well, I think that was the biggest surprise that I had in the interviews that I did. What I learned, Melanie, is that the stages of grief was never meant to apply to the griever. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who is a grief expert and has worked in the grief field and helping people transition from life to death and help support the people who love them transition from their loss, did a study to find out what goes through, what emotions do a person go through when they find out that they're terminally ill and they're going to die. So the stages of grief, you know, acceptance, anger, denial, you know, those stages that were now traditionally used to talk about the griever was only intended to talk about the person who was dying. Several years later, someone, not exactly sure who, decided that those same stages could apply to the griever. And books were written, many seminars were spoken about these stages. When it comes to the griever, to the person that's mourning, and it just became normal for it to fit in that way, but it was never actually intended to be for the person left behind. And it shocked me. And it was so freeing also at the same time to learn that because, like you, I didn't fit those stages. Yeah, there was moments when I was in denial and there was moments that I had acceptance and there was moments, a whole lot of moments that I was really angry. But they didn't seem to work. And worse, when we talk about stages, it gives us the impression that it happens in a finite amount of time and that there will the stages will soon be over and that we can move on with the rest of our life. So it gives us this perception that we're going to go through this and this and then we're going to go through this and then we're going to go through this and then voila, we're all going to be just great. And that's not true because it wasn't intended for the person left behind. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. And for people who are either in the grieving process or trying to support loved ones going through the grieving process, it makes it even more confusing and frustrating mm-hmm. when there's this, quote, standard or process that wasn't even supposed to be for grieving in the first place. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And what I learned, the myths and the fallacies don't even stop there. There's so much around grief that's been hidden. We've only scratched the surface of in society as a whole, the things that we learn about from the time that we're little. You know, we think about when we're little and we drop our sucker. You know, and for children, they express every emotion they have. If they're going to cry, boy, they're going to cry loud. If they're going to laugh, they're going to laugh loud. If they're going to be angry, they're loud. They express their emotions to their fullest capacity. So when a child has a popsicle or a sucker or an ice cream cone and they drop it, what do? They cry like crazy because they've lost something. It's a loss in their life. Yet we adults, we come up and we go, oh, what are you crying about? It is just an ice cream cone. Get over it. Here, let me get you another one. And so we replace it, but we don't deal with the grief that the child is going through at the loss of this thing that was important to them at that moment. So we teach children, and we're taught ourselves the absolute backwards way of how to emotionally deal with the obstacles that come in our way.
Well, exactly, and as when we have difficulty in the process as parents, and mm-hmm. we're the ones that our children are looking to for how to grieve. How should I feel? How do I express what I feel? Did you talk about children in the grieving process?
A great deal. It's really interesting. You know, you mentioned your son still felt very connected to his sister. You know, siblings have a very strong bond. And something very similar happened with my boys. I now have three extremely healthy boys, and they weren't born when Brennan lived and when she died. It was, you know, years later that they came along. But at some point in time in their life, at different ages, at different stages, I have ran upon them, each individually crying. And when I asked them what was wrong, they, every single one of them, all three boys, used these exact words: I miss my baby sister. And I thought, wow, you know, these little boys who've never met their sister, only know her from pictures and stories, grieve her loss, grieve the hope and the dreams of a sister, just as adults do. So, yes, the children and their experience with grieving, I spoke about a great deal in these interviews. And what I learned is that children are parrots. You know, they do what their parents do. They mimic us. They watch us, and they do as we do. That's how they learn, is from the way that we model. And I was just on an interview with Russell Friedman of the Grief Institute earlier today, and he shared a story, and I'll share it here, where he was on the grief hotline, and a lady called in, and she was very concerned about her 9-year-old son because his father had just passed away. And the way she spoke of his father was, I'm concerned about my son because his father just died. And, you know, Russell doesn't understand her relationship to them. Are they married? Did they know each other well? Did they hate each other? From her words, and he starts, you know, asking her more questions, well, she gets very, very angry and very, very defensive when he starts questioning her about her grief process and wants to take the attention back on the boy. So he allows her to do that. And she says, well, when I talk about him, he just gets up and he leaves the table and he slams his bedroom door. And it turns out that that was exactly what she did as well. When she thought about her husband, rather than cry in front of her son, she would get up, she would march to her bedroom, and close the door. And so he was learning to grieve from her, and our children do that too. And another thing I just thought of that we have to be careful with children is children look very normal. Have you ever had a kid and they're throwing up and they're sick and they have a high temperature but they're playing? You know, if we were throwing up and had a high temperature, we'd be laying in bed with heating packs around our necks and ice on our forehead and taking Tylenol, you know, popping it by the handful. But kids, they get up and start playing again. So we judge children based on how they are acting. So if they're playing, we label them as okay. But when children are playing, they're also processing and they're watching. They're watching how we are responding. And then when they feel safe enough, maybe years later, they'll start feeling safe enough to act out their own grief. Unfortunately, by the time that happens years later, especially with teenagers, there's not the connection of the grief process being what they're acting out of because it's been such a long time. So parents may have a teenager who lost a father when he was 12, but when he's 15, he's starting to drink and he's driving wild and he's petting class and he's having a lot of anger issues. But since the father died 3 years earlier, they don't connect it to the grief process for him, and that he doesn't get the grief counseling that he needs. So it's very complicated is what I've learned more than anything, and it's very unique and it's very special to the individual.
Wow. Excuse me. That's, I think as a parent, sometimes the most challenging, not only when we're going through our own grieving process, but then how do we best help our children to go through a grieving process that may feel differently than what we're feeling. So from what you just said, in taking that first step, that mother who was doing exactly what a child was doing and not realizing that's what where he was getting that. So let's take a look for a minute at some of the other ahas or insights that you gleaned from these interviews that you did. And before we do that, for people who are only going to be able to listen for a short period of time, they have to leave. Lynette, I do want to let them know what you put together with these interviews to share with people. Could you talk about that and let people know how to access these interviews, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some things that you learned?
Oh, yeah. I'm very happy to. They can go to www.healingfromgriefandloss.com, and that's the website that I launched on December 1st in honor of my daughter's Angel Day. She passed away 16 years ago on December 1st, and it felt very, very important for me to launch it on her, on that particular day in honor of her. So they can go to healingfromgriefandloss.com and learn more about the experts that I interviewed. And they'll see right now there's just 10 of the experts. There's been 3 since I launched it that I've interviewed, one being today, that's not yet up, that I'll be putting up as bonuses.
Okay, awesome. So you talked about something that you took from the interview that you did today. Who are some of the other people you interviewed?
Well, before I answer that, can I step back for just a second? I want to offer a solution. I've talked about a problem, and I'd like to offer a solution if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. When when I was interviewing Russell, again, this was very fresh because it just happened a couple of hours ago. He was talking about the wrong way to help a child to grieve. You know, whether it is from the loss of someone that they love or whether they're being picked on the playground, you know, they're grieving. Their feelings are hurt. Their heart is hurt. And we as parents need to, and I'm going to stress this word really big, we need to very much not underestimate the power of their hurt. When they come home from the school playground as they've been picked on, we do not need to be saying to them, oh, it's okay, it'll be better, they're not your friends anyway, or start digging for more information so that we can call the bully hotline. You know, that may come later, but we want to first address their feelings. And Russell says, you know, one of the best things that you can do is put your hand near your heart so that you are kinesthetically, through your body motions and through your words, showing them that you understand that their heart is hurting right now. And you can say words along the line of, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. You must feel so hurt right now. And then pause. And then you can tell the story. You know, I remember when this or that happened to me. And I remember that really hurt me too. Is that what you're feeling? And open up the discussion to allow the child to grieve and heal from that hurt. So she's not eating a cookie to make it better or, you know, going into her room until she's a big girl, but she's actually addressing her emotions as they come up.
Wow. And so often we do try. We want to fix it and we want them to feel better. And as my husband often says, I just want to fix it fast because it's hard to watch people you love be in pain. And he gets frustrated because he doesn't know how to fix it. And the process you just shared about realizing, yeah, that your heart is hurting and acknowledging that before moving to solution. One of the things, whether it's grieving with communicating with a parent or even in sales, talking about until you can empathize with someone and let their brain know and their heart know that you are hearing that emotion, the blood flow to the rational part of the brain, not happening. And
right.
So often we try to move to rationalization and reasoning, especially with kids, where there's that bridge between the emotional area of the brain and the reasoning area of the brain really isn't built until they're 18. Takes 18 years to build that. And so as parents, we need to slow down and really be with them in that emotional area. That's such a powerful idea.
Yes. Yes. And it's something we don't think about. You know, we do want to make things better. We do want to fix the hurt. But oftentimes we're just putting a Band-Aid on it. And as you know, Melanie, more than most people, the neural pathways that we create as a child, we carry into adulthood. And if we're going to always be eating a cookie to make things better, then that's going to explain the obesity epidemic that, or at least in part, it's going to explain some of the obesity epidemic that we're dealing with right now as a society, and also the wide use of prescription medication for depression and different other types of brain illnesses.
Oh my gosh. There's so much that we are learning that we didn't understand before. And because death is a subject that we don't like to talk about,
yes.
It's not reaching people, the people who need it. So I think that it's even more important that you have collected these interviews with these amazing people. And I'm about to sneeze.
Bless you.
Oh, thank you. So we've got about 13 minutes left. So if you're listening live and you have a question for Lynette, you can reach us at 347-215-8390. Or you can type a question into the chat room, and I will flip that back up here, and ask her your question. And while we are waiting to see if we get any questions, And as I think I shared with you, most of my listeners listen via downloading the podcast. So if they have questions later, Lynette, what is the best way for them to reach you?
They can reach me at, actually it's my metabolism email. It's the one that I would be easiest to reach on, but it's Lynette, L-Y-N-E-T-T-E, at unlockyourmetabolism.com. This is such a new product for me, I don't even have the email together for it, but that would be the best way. So they're absolutely welcome to ask me questions. You know, I do not claim to be an expert in this. What I do claim is to have been healed from these interviews, and I have a life experience, and I'm a very good listener, so they're welcome to connect with me.
Right, and you may be also able to connect them with one of these professionals whose resources may be a good fit.
Absolutely. I have been stunned. You know, Reverend Dr. Aaliyah Majan, who was the first person that I interviewed, and I highly recommend if anyone decides that they want to purchase this series of interviews, which, by the way, is $29.95 for the downloads, which I hope is reasonable and doesn't hinder healing in any way monetarily. She is actually providing a really amazing bonus. Everyone that purchases Healing from Grief and Loss, she's providing a 3-minute call, one-on-one with, to help them address and move through their grief process and give them some additional information for healing, which I think is so generous of her to give her time that way.
And you said how many minutes on that?
And half an hour, 30 minutes of her time. And she is amazing. And again, she was the first person I interviewed. And it was an amazing interview because I learned things that I hadn't really thought about before, about our changed circumstances. You know, from one moment, and this happened with you, so you and I can both relate. One moment, we're a mommy. The next moment, you know, we're what? What are we? Are we still a mommy? Are we the mommy of a dead child? What are we now? So our, you know, everything changes. Our story changes. I learned from her how we have an interrupted story, especially with children, but with any loss, with divorce, with bankruptcy, with losing a boyfriend or a girlfriend, all of those types of losses, there's an uninterrupted story. You know, your baby girl went away before you got to really hold her and get to know her. So you have this huge uninterrupted story that you had created in your head that's never going to be lived out. So not only do we grieve the loss of this person, we grieve the loss of this story that's gone, and so we play it in our head. I don't know about you, but I, for years and years and years, at Christmas time or at the different changes of the seasons, I would walk into a store and see all the pretty little girl dresses, and it would be just like, oh, I wonder what size she would be in right now. And maybe I wasn't hysterical or anything, but it was always, you know, this wondering, you know, what if, what if, what if. Well, that shuts us down emotionally in a lot of ways, and so we have to actually learn how to speak that story so that we can move through the healing process.
Very powerful. And that leads to, you know, the synchronicity of things, because you brought up the other kinds of loss besides death. And the question is, too, is this, the question that came in was, I've recently gone through a divorce, and there was, you know, the anger, the depression, the did I do the right thing, all the questioning and the doubt. Would this be, would I find some answers in these interviews, in essence, is what the question was asking.
Oh, my goodness. I was stunned to learn that a loss is a loss is a loss, because I got really attached to my loss. You know, I was carrying it around like it was a little puppy. You know, it was my loss, and it was greater than anybody else's loss. But in the end, that's not true. You know, a child cries because they lose their sucker, and a divorce is a very, very painful loss. And we speak about divorce in a lot of these interviews. So yes, the short answer is yes. I tend to get a little windy there, but the short answer is absolutely. This will walk you through what you need to heal from any type of loss, be it from your pet. We grieve deeply for the loss of our pets, to losing through divorce, through losing through bankruptcy. This can provide healing from all of those.
Wow. And with so, well, in thinking about the changes that have come about through the, quote, recession, unquote, where people's lifestyles have had major changes. Mm-hmm. And there's a grieving process with that, too, because there's a loss of what we had and a loss, like you said, of that story, the way we had planned to be living at this point in our lives, what we had wanted to do for our children or our parents. And often we don't think about that as needing to be addressed as grief.
Exactly. Moving. Think about if you, anytime you change your circumstances from what was familiar to it becoming unfamiliar, there's a loss. So even if it's a happy, it can be a very happy occasion. We could be moving to our dream home, but things are still going to be unfamiliar and we're going to be unsettled. We could be having a baby. You know, that's a happy thing, but boy, that's a big change too. So then we could be going through the loss of a good night's sleep. We could be going through the loss of the freedom to walk out the door anytime you wanted to. Marriage, it can be a very happy day, but it could also signify the loss of freedom and, you know, all the things that come along with being single. So we have loss in many, 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 many things in our life that we don't associate with it. And so we have these little nagging feelings of, oh, something doesn't feel right. I'm feeling depressed about this, or I'm not feeling quite right about this. And they don't know what it is, but what they're doing is they're not grieving the loss of what was so that they can more fully envelop what is.
Wow. And you said right now you have how many interviews that are available for download?
I have 10 of them right now, and I have 3 more that will be going live as soon as I can get them edited and up. So if anyone were to buy this tonight, for example, even though there's only the 10 available, as soon as I have the new ones up, I would make sure that they receive those as well, so they won't be missing anything if they choose to go ahead and begin their healing process now. I want to share with
Wonderful.
You also, you know, how much time do we have left? Because this is one thing that was really surprising.
We can have as much as you want. You see, we have 5 minutes officially on the clock, but I can make the clock go longer. This is one place I have some control over time.
Oh, I love that. That is great.
Isn't that awesome?
That is amazingly awesome. Controlling time, woohoo! We get to feel big, big in control.
I tell you what, yeah. What I will do is I'm going to add another 10 minutes, so we'll have 15 minutes left on that.
Okay. Well, one of the interviews that I really want to point out, they were also special. So I hate to point one out and not another because each of them brought so much clarity to me. You know, I had these huge light bulb moments, but I want to point out one in particular that I want to talk about simply because I think it's so, people aren't aware of this in connection to grief, and that's depression. Roxanne Renee was the interview that I did on depression and how painful depression is and how grief is so similar to depression. And that, if you don't listen to any of them, listen to that. If you're feeling sad, if you're feeling like you can't move, that you can't do the things that you want to do, listen to that call. It was so amazing. You know, what I learned is that when we're in grief, and you can talk about this probably better than I can, our prefrontal cortex basically shuts down. And our prefrontal cortex is that part of our brain that says, okay, I really need to be getting off the couch now, and I know that if I were to go and take a walk right now, I'd feel a lot better, and if I ate that fruit instead of that sugary cookie, it would be a whole lot better now, but I just can't. You know, the prefrontal cortex is that part of your brain that is about initiative. and, oh, okay, I can get up now and do that. Well, that's suppressed when you're in depression and when you're in grief. So she suggests that we find people around us to serve as our prefrontal cortex, who come to us when we're depressed and come to us when we're in grief and pull us up off that couch and get us moving, and then start implementing a lot of the steps that she shared to pull yourself out of the dark wilderness of depression and grief. It was really, really powerful.
Wow. Well, and Lynette, I can only add 30 more minutes, so we can use as much of that as you would like to talk about, you know, for somebody who's listening, for example, and let's say it's not the loss of a loved one. Let's say they are grieving the loss of their lifestyle, for example, and you just talked about find somebody who can be that prefrontal cortex for you. But that can also take initiative, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's, in, you know, getting these interviews and listening to these people and accessing more resources, which, again, we've been taught that grief is a private thing. And so this might be a way that to begin working through or learning more about how we can grieve, because a lot of us want to grieve more quickly, more effectively, move through the pain faster.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Right, so that we can, well, you know, whether you have experienced a deep loss that's truly affected you, guess what? It's coming. You know, one of the certainties of this life is that there's death. And it might be some, it might be your spouse, it might be someone you love. And one of the questions I found myself asking over and over and over again, it's like, okay, why in the world are we taught math and spelling and science in school, and we're not taught how to handle our emotions and how to grieve and how to communicate our grief to another person or our joy to another person? How come we're not taught as children how to experience all of these things that come along with grief so that we can handle it, because it's coming? There's no choice. There's no way around it. It is coming at some point in your life, and we're never taught how to handle it. And so, you know, I think it would be super cool if you know, if we had these interviews. Maybe you haven't experienced that grief, but you listen to these almost as an education so that you will know what to do when grief comes your way. And also as a support person for someone who's grieving, I talk endlessly in these conversations with these experts on how can we, the people who are thrust into the supporter role, the helper role, how do we help someone move and heal through the grief process when maybe we're hurt as well and we're grieving, or we have families and we have other obligations that we still have to live our life. You know, how do we juggle all of that? What words do we use? What actions do we take? So this isn't a series that's only for someone who's going through grief and loss of any kind. This is for people who anticipate grief and loss coming into their future so they can be educated and kind of fortify themselves in a way that they understand what they're about to go through. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to answer all your questions. It's going to make your grief process, you know, 2.4 seconds, but you're going to understand it better, and you're going to understand how the people around you are going to act as well. And then again, as I mentioned, when you find yourself as a helper, as a supporter, what can you do that's really going to make a big difference? And so, I got kind of passionate there, but I feel it's important. It's important to talk about something that we don't want to talk about, so that we're not caught blindsided the way I was and the way a lot of people are.
Well, and I agree that there are some things that we don't learn unless we happen to have parents or be involved with relatives or people or other organizations where we have a chance to learn about how to grieve or learn about emotional intelligence. That, you know, kids don't come with instruction manuals, and You know, we often parent the way we were parented, even though we swore we'd never do it. We hear ourselves doing things, and we're like, what in the world is that? Because we know it's not working, and we don't know where to turn for other options. And we think we have to do it ourselves, just like we think we have to grieve by ourselves. And the good news is we don't, that there are amazing resources available to help. And in this case, to help with grief and loss. So, yeah, I am going to be sharing this with several people in my life who are going through different kinds of grief and loss this holiday season, and to give them some additional resources and tools and comfort that whatever they're experiencing or feeling is okay. Lynette, I think did that come up in your interviews about just accepting that wherever you are is okay?
Yes, that came up a great deal because there's no measurement. There's no time frame. That's one of the things that was comforting, but also I found very frustrating. It was like, okay, no, you're not supposed to tell me that. You're supposed to tell me that there is this, you know, little handout sheet that you're going to give me, and I'm going to check them off, and then I'm going to be done. You know, I wanted a check sheet that I could go through and, okay, cried hard, check. Gnashed teeth, check, check. I wanted that timesheet, but the thing is, there's not. It is very unique and individual. And at the same time, we have to be really careful for those who have fallen into unresolved grief or what they call complicated grief, because I don't want anyone that's listening to this to think, oh, it's been 22 years and I'm still crying and I feel depressed and I'm eating cookies and I'm still not dealing with this, but I guess it's okay because I can do this as long as I want. You know, there is unresolved grief, there is complicated grief, and in the interviews we talk at length as to what the signs and the symptoms are and when not only you as the griever need to be concerned, but when the support people, the helpers, need to be concerned for you so that you can get the additional help that you need.
Can you share or would you share one or two of the things that people, especially from the support perspective, might want to be aware of, that there may be a need for some additional expertise or support?
Okay. What I was able to gather from the majority of the experts, again, there's no timeline here, so please don't listen to this and think, oh, I'm over this timeline or I'm under this timeline. You know, I still have some more work. But generally, it's around a year where the grief and the pain isn't so bad, where you can start really talking about the other person and laughing about, you know, their antics, or start thinking about your ex-spouse and not want to bash his head in with a skillet, you know, those types of things. So generally about a year, but if it's 14 or 15 months, that's okay. You know, there's this big window there. But if it starts to get to about 2 years and you're still feeling very depressed, if you're not moving on with your life, if you're still, you know, crying each time you think of that person, or very often when you think of that person, then you may be experiencing complicated grief. After the funeral or after the loss occurs, generally 4 to 6 weeks, you may still feel as if you don't want to get out of bed, you know, and you don't want to face another day. But if you're still not bathing, if you're not brushing your teeth, if you're not coming out of the house, if you're not doing basic daily essential type things after 4 to 6 weeks, then there's complicated grief that soon as well. So you would want to know that, you know, laying in bed for 4 weeks straight isn't normal, and you may need some support and some help to help pull you out of that dark place.
That is helpful, because, again, it is so different than not wanting to be intrusive, or, you know, at least to have an idea of, you know, when is it that as a family we might want to talk about how mom's doing or not doing, or, you know, getting involved. That's really helpful. Yes. For people who are listening right now who maybe have recently experienced that grief or loss, like within the last 6 months, say, or even in the last year, this is the first winter holiday season that they've been in this new experience without the loved one or with a different lifestyle, maybe unemployed. Are there some strategies that can help to deal with the emotion around going through a familiar experience in that different situation?
Yes, and I don't know that any of the experts said this, but this is what I kind of accumulated and I put together as my number one strategy is let go of the societal pressure to do it a certain way. So, you know, maybe this year, if your grief is really lost, maybe you don't feel like putting up a Christmas tree. That's okay, you know, but there's going to be people who don't approve of that and who are going to think that you haven't moved on and that you're not doing it right if you don't put up a Christmas tree. So releasing the societal pressure, I think, is the biggest number one key. And realizing that you get to do Christmas this year the way you feel deep in your heart that you want to do Christmas. If that is putting up that Christmas tree, that's perfectly fine. If it's keeping it in the box or in the forest, that is perfectly fine too. So realizing that people are going to have a lot of opinions on how you should do this season, but the only one that matters is your own.
And I think that can be very empowering to tell people, because often when people who care about you are trying to share their, well, you know, I think if you just do this, you'd feel better. Mm-hmm. And to be able to say, I appreciate your support and I need to do this the way that works for me. Or to give people some languaging that says it's okay, like you just did, to do it the way that feels right for you. And
yeah,
to let other people know.
Yeah, and some helpful languaging there would be, you know, gosh, you know, I can see where that would be incredibly helpful for you, but, you know, I've really thought about this, and this is the way I'm choosing to do it right now. You know, because it really is a choice. You can choose to put up your tree. You can choose not to. You can choose to heal. You can choose to stay in grief. It's all about a choice. So speaking to another person from the place of your choice can be very empowering.
Yes, and to have permission from, you know, nobody that you even know that says it's okay to do that, because sometimes we just need an external voice that says it's okay to do it the way that you want to. And it's okay,
yeah,
to tell people that you don't want to do it their way.
Yes, it is okay. Everyone listening, it is okay. I give you my full stamp of approval to do this holiday and any day the way it feels right for you. Because, you know, as I mentioned in my interview with Reverend Dr. Aaliyah, we have this new thing called a changed circumstance. We have a new thing called a changed environment. So this holiday is going to look different than all the holidays before that. So it's not the same. So you don't have to make it the same. You can do it any way you want.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Lynette, in closing, one, there's been so many good ideas and good strategies, and I want to thank you for sharing that with my listeners. And before we go, I would like you again to talk about what you have put together with these interviews in your healing from grief and loss and how people can get it.
Okay, well, the way they can get it, if they feel inspired and they for themselves or someone they know, then they can just simply type in healingfromgriefandloss.com. And if they would, I've got two pages up. One of them is a little funky right now. Do the /heal. And that would be the best page for them to go to. Again, this is really new, so I'm working out some kinks. So healingfromgriefandloss.com/heal, H-E-A-L. And that's the best page for them to be able to see all the different experts. They can learn a little bit about them. And if they choose, if this feels like a good investment for them, they can click the buy button. And for $29.95, they'll have instant access to the 10 interviews that are available now, plus the bonuses that they'll see at the bottom. And as soon as I get the new interviews edited, I will send them through email to their inbox.
Okay, and that email address again was healingfromgriefandloss.com. Is Anne spelled out, Lynette?
Yes, it's healingfromgriefandloss, healingfromgriefandloss.com/heal. And again, it's H-E-A-L.
Okay, great. They can learn more about the interviews and how to get them.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I look forward to having you back because you offer such amazing, amazing insights to help people to live their best life. And I wish you very happy holidays, and happy holidays to all of us who have experienced loss and are still able to find joy. So thank you, Lynette. We'll be in touch. And to my listeners, Lynette, before you go, I almost forgot to ask you. In closing, one thing that you would like people to know.
Gosh, one thing that I want people to know. I want them to know that this is their journey, that they get to choose, and they get to re-choose. So it's not about mistakes. It's not about doing it right. It's about getting from the place where you're in pain to getting to the place where you are living your life joyfully. I think it would be so super cool if we could move through our healing process and be even more emotionally and physically well than when the journey began. And what a great way to honor the person that we lost.
I knew you'd come up with something amazing because you always do, because you really do come from a place of giving and a place, really come from the heart with what you do. And I admire that very much about you.
Well, thank you. This, as we talked about, was completely inspired. And if it touches another person's life, I would love to know that. I would love to know if they would, let me just email me, drop me a line, and let me know how their life is healed, because this came from a little 2-year-old girl. And I would love to see the miracles that her life on this earth is creating after her life on this earth.
Wonderful. Thank you again very much, Lynette. And thanks to all of you who have joined in, have listened and learned with us. And you can reach Lynette at Lynette@unlockyourmetabolism.com is her email. And you can also learn more at healingfromgriefandloss.com/heal and at brainbonanza.com. So thank you again for being with us, for sharing us with your family and friends. And until next time, please find joy in acknowledging your grief and loss, and know that whatever process you're experiencing is okay. I hope that you can join us again soon. Until next time, do stay safe. Oh, my God.